A very good evening. I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is a very pointed question. Is God your Father? And we are asking this question because there are those who claim that God is their Father. If you just look at one verse before the passage that we read in verse 41, this was what the Pharisees claimed and said. We are not born of fornicators. We have one Father, even God. So this was what the Pharisees claimed concerning themselves. They have God as their Father. And what we then continue to read from verse 42 onwards was where the Lord Jesus Christ then exposed their false claim. Because what the Lord Jesus Christ essentially was saying is that if God is indeed your Father, then there will be several certain evidence to prove it. There must be certain marks, certain indicators, certain things that would prove your claim that God is indeed your Father. And of course, the conclusion would be that because they do not bear forth these marks, they cannot say that God is their Father. Now, if a similar question were to be asked of you with regard to your earthly father, right? If someone asks you, how do you know that so-and-so is your father? How do you prove that so-and-so is your father? How would you prove it? We're not asking so much a question of biology, right? Where you say, okay, I can take a DNA or a blood test, and then through that, I know that this person is my biological father. Because we know that there are some biological fathers who are not really fathers, right? There can be a person who is biologically a father of a child, but he does not fulfill the role of a father. He does not discipline, he does not teach, he does not guide, he does not love as a father. Then even though biologically he may be the father, he's not in reality the father. In relationship, he's not like the father. In fact, we also know that there are children who are adopted into families where biologically the child may not be the child of the person. Right, and a person may not be biologically the father of this boy or girl. But in terms of relationship, he fulfills the relationship as a father. So if I were to ask you this question, how do you know so-and-so is a father to this child? How do you know that this person is your father? We're not just talking about biologically, but there would be signs, there would be evidence in the relationship to help you know, to prove that I have this person as my father. Now, this is a question that we're now asking, not so much about our earthly father. But if you think and you profess that you have God as your father, what is the proof of that? How do you know actually that God is your father? Now, this was a claim that the Jews liked to make in those days, especially the Pharisees. Now, the context of this passage actually goes back to John chapter 7, right, where this was the Feast of the Tabernacles, and the Lord Jesus Christ stood in the temple to instruct them concerning the truth of his identity and his position during this feast. Right? So he would talk about how he would give them the living waters. That is in John chapter 7, verse 38. He will speak about how he is the light of the world. He is the one who reveals the Father. And in the midst of this, there's this very wonderful passage where the Lord was teaching them in the temple. The Pharisees brought the woman who was caught in adultery, wanting to trap the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, then exposed the hypocrisy of the Pharisees who wanted to trap him. So this is the context of the passage that we see over here. As the Jews and the Pharisees especially continued to debate and argue with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Lord Jesus Christ revealed his identity, essentially revealing that he's the Son of God, yet the Jews, the Pharisees, being blinded in their pride and hypocrisy, they just would not believe him, they just would not see it. And so this is the context over here. The conversation then continues. And in fact, they would then go so far to accuse the Lord Jesus Christ that he is of the devil. That kind of audacity of the Pharisees. And the Jews will then say,
we have God as our Father. And now, from verse 42 onwards, we have the reply of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the reply of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will see three things. Because that applies also very much to us, professing Christians. Right? It does not apply to unbelievers. Because unbelievers will not claim God to be their Father. Right? Unbelievers who worship idols, they do not even confess to worship Jehovah. But now, if you also make the same claim and profession that God is your Heavenly Father, how do you know that God is your Heavenly Father? What proof is there? And so there are three things that we will see here. The Lord Jesus Christ will first declare, if God is your Father, in verse 42, He would love me. This was what the Lord Jesus Christ said. So if God is your Father, you will love the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only begotten Son of the Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave the reason. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ proceeded forth and came from the Father. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. If God were indeed your Father, that is, Jehovah is your Father, then you would love the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ came from the Father. He was sent by the Father. Now, this was what the Pharisees struggled with. They could not see beyond the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They could not see that He was sent from God. Even though, despite the evidence from the very beginning of Christ's ministry, you may even argue that from the very beginning at Christ's birth, when the angels declare that this is Emmanuel, God with us, at the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, when God the Father declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," we already see that the Lord Jesus Christ is more than just a teacher, more than just a prophet, more than just a good person. He is the only begotten Son of God who has been sent by the Father. And this is what the Jews struggled with. In fact, this is still what the Jews struggle with today. Now, I remember when we went to Israel, we had a Jewish guide during our Holy Land pilgrimage. And this Jewish guy, he was very knowledgeable in the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament. And so we asked him, "Who is the Lord Jesus Christ to you? How do you regard the Lord Jesus Christ?" Because He will bring us to the place of the Sermon on the Mount. He will bring us to the place, not the actual place, but where they think, you know, was the feeding of the 5,000. You know, He will introduce all these places to us. So you speak so much about the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ to you? Of course, you will not call the Lord Jesus Christ the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And his answer would be that he believed that the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest prophet the world has ever known. The Jesus, right, he will call him Jesus. He says that he believes that Jesus is perhaps even the greatest teacher, the greatest man that the world has ever seen. But that's where he would stop short at. He cannot say that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He will not even call the Lord Jesus as the Christ. He will not acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah, because Christ means the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one who was prophesied in the Old Testament Scripture. And that is how many may regard the Lord Jesus Christ. They may admire His teachings. They may even be impressed with His life. They may even marvel at His works. But they will not believe that He is the only begotten Son of God. And that's the question that we need to ask. How do you know whether God is your Father? It is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you view the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you recognize, do you see Him as the only begotten Son of God who was sent from the Father, where He's not just merely a good prophet or a teacher, but He is the divine Son of God, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Neither came I of myself, but He sent me." Because what we see many people doing nowadays is that they may love church life. They may enjoy church tradition. They may even enjoy, you know, the fellowship of Christians. They may be part of this whole church. Like, they may even like the teachings and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, more and more trend nowadays that we see or in social media, there are people who like to quote the scripture and even quote the words and the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they quote these things more like inspirational words and inspirational sayings. You know, that means they will quote the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that is no different from how they would quote the words of Obama, right, or Mother Teresa. It's just inspirational words or inspirational sayings. And that's the sad thing today, that there are people who can come to church or may even send their children to church because they enjoy church life, they enjoy the Christian company. There are some people who say that, you know, Christianity is very virtuous, but not because they see that they are a sinner and they need a savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ is this savior who has been sent to come and save us from our sins. So how do you know whether God is your father? It is whether you love the Lord Jesus Christ and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love him as the only begotten Son of God? Do you love him as the eternal one? Do you love him as the Savior who has been sent to save sinners from their sin? Do you love him where you would follow him, you obey him, where you would be his disciple? Do you love him where he is your master? Not where you serve two masters. You know, because again, there may be people who may be impressed with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say that, I also follow the Lord Jesus Christ, I obey the Lord Jesus Christ, but as one other alternative to the many other gods or the other philosophers that I may also follow. But no, you follow exclusively Christ. You love exclusively Christ. Do you love him? And that was the problem with the Jews. They were without Christ. They did not know who he was. They did not love him. They did not acknowledge him. And so they cannot say that they are of God. Because that brings us to the second thing, which the Lord Jesus Christ then continues to say. If God were your Father, you would hear, you would understand, you would receive the words of Christ. So you say you love Christ. But how is that seen? How would that be translated to your life? Then that is where, if you love Christ, you would hear, you would receive, you would understand his words. In verse 43, now all the way down to 47, our second point is, if God is your Father, you would hear, you would understand, you would receive his words. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Now, the problem here was not with the understanding of the words. It was not a language problem. Remember the Pharisees, they were very educated. Right? They were very educated people. They were scholars. They were lawyers. Lawyers meaning students of the law, students of the Old Testament law especially. So they were not ignorant of the Old Testament scripture. But yet they can be reading these portions of scripture, studying scripture, and yet not understand, and yet not see. They could not perceive. Then the Lord Jesus Christ revealed the reason why. Because ye are of your father the devil, and the last of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now here the Lord Jesus Christ exposed their hypocrisy, and at the same time revealed a very stern warning. What the Lord Jesus Christ is saying is that if you do not have God Jehovah as your father, then what you actually have, who you actually have, is the devil as your father. And because the devil is your father, and because the devil is the father of lies, this is the reason why you cannot understand the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot hear his word. It's not a problem of intelligence or even just understanding of speech or of language. The problem is the condition of the heart. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ says here that the devil is the father of lies, right? And if they have their father to be the devil, that means they are living in deception. And one of the most dangerous and deadly kind of deception is self-deception, where they have deceived themselves, where they're living in the lie of their own hypocrisy, the lie of their own religiosity, but they were living in self-deception. And because of that, the Lord Jesus Christ goes on to say in verse 45, because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Now, this is a very strange statement, right? Because how does this actually make sense? You know what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here is that because I tell you the truth, now you do not believe me. So in other words, the reason why you do not believe me is because I tell you the truth. In other words, the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ now, you may say, has resulted in the unbelief of the Jews. Now that's a very strange thing, right? Because remember the Lord Jesus Christ has earlier on said that he's the light. But as the light shines, it should expel darkness. As the light shines, it should illumine. But how is it that because the light shines, they do not believe? Right? So in other words, what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here is that their rejection of Christ is not because the truth was not declared. It's not because the truth was not revealed. But because the truth was declared, because the truth was revealed, because the truth has exposed, they do not believe. Now this tells us one very important thing about the truth and the Word of God, which is what we often emphasize. Where the truth not only will win the lost, right? It will not only save the repentant, where the sheep will hear God's voice, it will expose the goats. It will expose sin and expose hypocrisy. And those who have hardened their hearts to the truth, when they are confronted with the truth, they will harden their hearts even more towards the truth. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ is essentially saying here. I tell you the truth, and because I tell you the truth, you choose not to believe me. And in fact, you will even harden your heart in your unbelief. That is where we realize the hardness and the stubbornness of man's heart really knows no bounds. Sometimes, of course, we do not want to very quickly and hastily come to such a conclusion. But sadly, there are some who, the more you shine the light, the more you reveal the truth, the more you explain, you would think that it should be clearer. The truth will become clearer and clearer, and yet they just cannot believe more and more. And that's because the clearer the truth shines, the more the truth exposes. If a person remains in his pride, arrogance, his stubbornness of sin, it will only reveal his hypocrisy, it will only reveal his sinfulness. And until he repents of his sin and forsakes his sin, if he continues in his stubbornness, he will just reject the truth more and more. That's the sad reality. Because the truth will, the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ will attract the sheep, but it will also chase away the goats. And that's why in the ministry of the church, we are not just concerned about numbers, right? Bringing as many people. Of course, we want people to come and hear of the gospel. But if the truth is spoken, and if the truth offends, and people being offended by the truth, being hardened in their hearts, rejecting the truth, then leaves the church. Yes, it will bring us sadness and sorrow. But we must guard ourselves against being disappointed. I mean, we never know, you know, whether a person has finally and ultimately hardened his heart, and so we keep on trying. But this is a warning for each of us, personally. Because if you know that your heart has been hardened to the truth, where each time the truth is spoken, it somehow increases your unbelief. The problem lies not with the truth. You know, in communication, there's always two sides to it, right? When a person when there's a miscommunication. It can be either the person who was speaking that did not speak clearly, or a person who has problem with the comprehension. You know, so in miscommunication, we sometimes try to understand where did that communication break down. But is it I did not express myself clearly and that's why you did not understand? Was it because I spoke too fast and that's why you did not understand? Or is it because you have a problem with comprehension? So maybe if English is not your first language, if someone speaks very good English, but English is not your first language, you cannot understand, you cannot comprehend. And so you keep misunderstanding because of your poor understanding of that language. That could be the reason. Similarly, if a person's speaking, if English is not his first language, and so he expresses himself very poorly, then the recipients, when they receive and hear, they do not understand. It's actually not their fault, right? The fault now lies with the person speaking. And that's in human communication. But when it comes to the revealing of the truth, the problem lies not with God who has communicated, who has revealed. His truth is clear. His truth is precise. His truth is plain. It's so plain and so clear and so precise that little children can hear of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and very easily and simply understand. Right? That's how plain and wonderful the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ is. You know, there are some people who ask, why is it that so many Jews cannot understand and see and know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah? Is it because the Old Testament scripture is actually not very clear with regard to the prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ that Jesus is the Messiah? Now, when you study the prophecies of the Old Testament, you realize that that's not the case at all. There are so many New Testament passages that would either explicitly quote, right, directly quote Old Testament scripture in fulfillment of prophecies to show that this is the Lord Jesus Christ who has fulfilled all these prophecies. Or there are some indirect quotations. But there are so many prophecies of the Old Testament that have been fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, in the Gospels alone. And that's why all these New Testament prophecies that have been fulfilled are so important. You know, the virgin birth of Christ. And even when we come near to like Good Friday, when you read passages of how the Bible describes the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will cast lots for the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? They will not even break his leg. All these details are very important to show that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Christ, the one who has fulfilled what Old Testament scripture speaks of. The problem lies not with the clarity. The problem lies not with the truth. The problem lies with the heart, the recipient of unbelief. And so, when you sit under the preaching of God's word, if the word of God is preached faithfully, when you open the pages of scripture and you meditate upon scripture, but if you don't understand, you don't know or receive, and now we are not talking about if you are a younger Christian, maybe you do not understand the grammar, you do not understand the words, the vocabulary, right? And then when the words are explained to you, oh, now you can understand. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the understanding where there's the hardness of heart, there's the rejection of the truth, there's the unbelief. Where even though it's so plainly and clearly explained and revealed, but because it exposes your sin, it exposes your hypocrisy, and you choose not to believe, then the Bible says that the danger, the warning, the reality could be you have the devil as your father, because the devil is the father of lies, and now you are deceiving yourself. You have turned everything into a lie. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ says here, because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? Which of you have convicted me of sin? Now the word convinces me of sin means which of you have proven that the Lord Jesus Christ has sinned. And when you look at all the arguments and the debates between the different people concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, none of them have ever brought a fair, just accusation against the Lord Jesus Christ. Even finally, at the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ, he went through 6 trials. You know what the 6 trials tell us is that the Lord Jesus Christ is truly innocent. Because even after going through 6 trials, they could not find him guilty. The only way they could accuse him as a criminal was to accuse him falsely by getting false witnesses. Right? The Lord Jesus Christ was never convicted or convinced of any sin or any wrongdoing. Which of you convinced me of sin? And so if you cannot convince me of sin, if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Even when they tried to trap the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why, you know, the passage of the woman caught in adultery, that is the beginning of John chapter 8, is so important. Because even when they tried to trap the Lord Jesus Christ, they thought that they had posed a problem and a scenario and a situation that's so difficult. Are you going to excuse the woman of her sin? Because if you excuse the woman of her sin, you are no longer just. Right? Or are you going to condemn the woman in her sin? Because if you condemn the woman, then you are no longer loving. So either way, the Lord Jesus Christ will be trapped. And at the same time, you notice that the trap was very deliberate. The man was not brought. In a case of adultery, it's not just only the woman who should be charged, the man as well. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who is all wise, answered simply, "He that hath no sin, let him cast the first stone." He immediately exposed the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And they, being so ashamed and convicted of their own guilt, they went away. And he then declared to this woman a wonderful declaration. "Where are those who condemn thee? Where are thy accusers?" And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Because he has the authority to forgive sin. But then he also commanded her, "Go and sin no more." That's how the Lord Jesus Christ has exposed the unbelief of the Pharisees, yet at the same time displayed the compassion of forgiveness. "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. If God is your Father, you would hear and you would receive God's truth." You have been sitting week after week. You know, how many sermons do you listen to a year? And if these are sermons that are preached from God's word, have you received the truth? Has the truth impacted your life? Have you repented of sins that you need to repent of? Forsake the ways that are in disobedience to the Lord. Have you heard the word of God? Because the hearing of God's word here is not just a superficial hearing of the words itself. It is now the understanding, the reception, the believing of this truth, and the shaping, the transforming of your life through this truth. If God is your Father, you would hear and you receive the words of Christ. Don't try to argue or debate with Christ and with God and give excuses for your unbelief. Now you have a new understanding. You are able to perceive the truth. You are able to receive the truth. You know, and for the believer, we need to understand that we know the truth because of the word of God. See, sometimes other religions, they may seem to stumble upon a semblance of the truth, but that's not the truth. Because the conclusion may sometimes look the same, but the whole philosophy, the whole thought process, the starting point is different. Then that's actually not the truth. Like some unbelievers, they may live with a principle where they say that the love of money is the root of all evil. Right? Sometimes you hear unbelievers quoting things like that, or you even hear unbelievers talking about filial piety. But the motive, the reason for saying the love of money is the root of all evil is very different for the Christian. For the Christian, we would say the love of money is the root of all evil because we can only serve one master. where God is our master. We cannot love God and mammon. Right? So, our rejection of the love of money stems from our love for God. Right? For unbelievers, they may say the love of money is the root of all evil, but who do they love? What do they love? It is not God. Right? So the starting point is different. But now you have the truth. Are you able to receive the truth? If you are the son, the child of God, if God is your father, then you must hear God's truth, Christ's truth. And then this brings us to the third thought, because now in verse 48, the Bible tells us, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" I mean, of course, they knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was not a Samaritan. So this was a term of insult. Right? The Samaritan is to accuse the Lord Jesus Christ as not a son, not a child of Abraham. Right? That means he's saying that you are not a Jew. Right? They would think that that was an insult. Because the Jews, they prided themselves in being a child of Abraham. And that is going to be part of the argument that you see in this section. So they are now saying that you are a Samaritan. That means you are not a true descendant of Abraham. Right? It's a form of insult. Of course, it's not true. And they know that it's not true. Even at a very basic level, they would know that the Lord Jesus Christ was the son of Joseph. Right? I mean, he's not the biological son of Joseph, but he was of Joseph. Right? That's what they would know. From Galilee, from Nazareth. But now, in order to insult the Lord Jesus Christ, they say that thou art a Samaritan and thou hast a devil. Right? So this was an accusation, of course a false accusation, but it was intended to insult. Now, when they failed to trap, they tried to insult, they tried to mock, they tried to scorn the Lord Jesus Christ. But how did the Lord Jesus Christ reply? And his reply now gives us the third truth. If God is your father, then you would honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And how would you honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Through your obedience. But you would honor the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see the kind of disregard the Jews had to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ says here in verse 49, Jesus answered, "I have not the devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." So what the Lord Jesus Christ declared here is that he honors the Father. Now later on, this whole truth of the Son honoring the Father and also the Father honoring the Son will be expounded in what we call the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 17. There's this very wonderful truth of the Son honoring the Father and also the Father honoring the Son. There's a mutual honoring of the persons in the Godhead. But for the Jews, they were dishonoring the Son. They thought that they are of God, the Father, but they dishonored the Son. They didn't realize that by dishonoring the Son, they are also dishonoring the Father. Right? Because the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth." Now, how does that then relate to verse 51? If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And that ties into there is one that seeketh and judges, because the Father will seek and he will judge. He knows your true heart. He knows your motive. He knows your unbelief. He knows your pride. He knows your hypocrisy. But if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death, because the Father also honors the Son. Now, how the Father honors the Son is because the Son will fulfill his mission. The Son will obey the Father. The Son will go to the cross. The Son will be raised again from the dead. And the Father will exalt the Son, showing that the justice of the Father will be fulfilled. And it's only in the Son where the justice of the Father will and can be fulfilled. So in other words, if you reject the Son, you are rejecting the Son to your own condemnation and death. That was what the Lord Jesus Christ was exposing concerning the Pharisees. Now, of course, the Pharisees, the Jews, were still unable to see it. And so they then went on to say, thus, in verse 52, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. So at first they has already accused the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? You are Samaritan, you have a devil, the devil. And as the Lord Jesus Christ now says that, if you keep my saying, you will never see that. Right? I honor the Father, and the Father honors me. But you keep my saying, you'll never see that. Then they even double down. They continue in their stubbornness. They continue in their insult to say, thou hast a devil. And the argument, because Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Then they went on to accuse the Lord Jesus Christ. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? So if Abraham died and the prophets have died, who then are you? Are you greater? Are you saying that you are greater than Abraham and even the prophets? Now, then the Lord Jesus Christ then answered in verse 54. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. In other words, what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying is that I don't need to prove this to you. In time, God will honor me. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. Right? And if God, the Father, honors me, then why wouldn't you honor me if you believe that God is your Father? Right? So you see the argument of the Lord Jesus Christ here, exposing the hypocrisy of the Jews. You say that God is your Father. If God is your Father, then the Lord Jesus Christ says that he honors the Father. And as he honors the Father also honors him. And so if the Father honors him, and if God is your Father, why wouldn't you honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, of course, to the Jews here, being blinded in their unbelief, they cannot see. Because they still are trapped in the physical and the moment, right, where the Lord Jesus Christ says that you believe in me, you will not see death. Then the Jew says that, but Abraham has died, the prophets have died. Are you greater than them? And that's precisely what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. He is indeed greater than them because he is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. But the Jews are still unable to see it. And so that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his saying. Now he's saying this with regard to the Father, right? In verse 55. Ye have not known him. That means now very plainly the Lord Jesus Christ says, you Jews, you think you know the Father, but you do not know him. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he knows the Father. If he says that he does not know the Father, then he will be a liar. But he knows the Father and he keeps his saying. And your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now what was this day that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about? This is talking about the resurrection. How does the Father honor the Son? How has the Father, from our perspective today, honored the Son? It is in the glorious resurrection. You know, and for many of these Jews, you may say that, but it has not happened yet. But that's the nature of faith. Right? The nature of faith is to believe Christ at his word. Even though you may not see it, you know, you believe by faith that it will come to pass. Where the Lord Jesus Christ has declared many times concerning his own resurrection. Because you see that the problem with faithlessness is that even after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, even after it has happened, they still did not believe. They still refused to believe. They still could not see. And that's why the nature of faith is where you believe in order to see, not you see in order to believe. I remember once, you know, evangelizing or witnessing to a young man. It was a friend of a mutual friend. Right? So there was this mutual friend who wanted me to speak to this young person. And he was brought up in a Christian family, but when he came to about the age of a youth, you know, at that time he was in university, he became like an agnostic, like where he says that, I do not know what I can know, I do not know whether I know, I do not know what I know, that kind of agnostic. So when we talk, he knows about the gospel. And at the end of our conversation, he just told me, he says that, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to appear right now in front of me and tell me that he is Jesus, then he would believe at this very moment, he says. Right, so after I share the gospel with him, he says that the only way he will believe is if the Lord Jesus Christ were to appear right in front of him and to tell him that he's Jesus, then he says that he will believe. And I told him, if you will not believe the word of God, that's like what the Lord told the rich man, right, in the account of the rich man and Lazarus. And so I told him that if you will not believe the word of God, you will not believe the gospel, even if the Lord Jesus Christ were to appear right now and tell you that he is Jesus and the Son of God, you will not believe. Because the problem lies not with evidence. Right? You do not need more evidence. You do not need more proof. The problem lies with your unbelief, your heart. That was the problem with the Jews. Right? The Jews, you may say that at this point the Lord Jesus Christ has not resurrected yet. But later, even after his resurrection, did they believe? No, they gave excuses, they gave explanations to try to explain away the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That later, during the book of Acts, you still see the Sanhedrin council arresting Peter and John, right? Falsely accusing them and even stoning Stephen. Of course, one of those who were part of those who stoned Stephen was Paul, so that the Lord later on saved. But this was the problem. They were unable to see, but Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. This was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the Jews then said unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? So they again continue in their unbelief. You see here that what happens is that the Jews were unable to perceive spiritual things. The Lord has been talking about spiritual truth. But for the Jews, they are only able to see the physical. Abraham is dead. The prophets are dead. You are much, much younger than Abraham. You're of a different generation from Abraham. So how can Abraham see your day? Right? You're only able to perceive the physical. And that's where the Lord Jesus Christ then declared in verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ made this declaration, the Jews understood what it meant. Because what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying is that he is God. When he says, before Abraham was, I am. This was the name with which the Lord Jehovah revealed himself to Moses. Right? I am have sent you. When Moses asked the Lord, if the Jews, the children of Israel, right, at the time it's not the Jews, but if the children of Israel were to ask me, who is it that have sent you? Then God told Moses to say, I am have sent you. Now the Pharisees and the Jews here understood what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, because the moment he declared that he's the I am, they took up stones to cast at the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ had to depart from the temple. Now this is such a sad conclusion, where they have rejected the Christ. They have rejected the truth because of the blindness of their heart and unbelief. But what this shows to us is that if God is your Father, then you would honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know who he is, you know what he has accomplished, you know that Abraham rejoiced to see his day. Now this would be the argument that the Apostle Paul would later use in the book of Galatians, you know, to describe how the covenant promise was to Abraham's seed. Right? And Apostle Paul would argue it's not seed as in plural, but seed, but singular. So there's an aspect of the promise that concerns Abraham's descendants as a nation, but there's also a very specific aspect of the promise to Abraham where it concerns the seed that is the Messiah. Right? That's what Apostle Paul argued in the book of Galatians. And that's the spiritual understanding, the spiritual perception that you would have. And when you have that spiritual perception, you would honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how it applies to us. If God is your Father, you would see the Lord Jesus Christ as truly the Son of God, and you would honor Him. And this honor must not just be with words. This must be in your obedience. This must be in your submission. This must be in your service. This must be in the life that you live. Do you honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Because it's more than just saying, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is Son of God. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. But do you live in that manner, where your life truly honors the Lord Jesus Christ? Where people can see that your life is truly devoted, given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your life glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what are the things that you post on social media? How do you reply people? Even at home, in your most private space, your children, do they see that you honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Like not just in the way you sing praises to Him, but where you really honor the Lord Jesus Christ in your devotion, in your commitment, in your surrender, in your obedience. Do you honor the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, of course, for the Jews, you see the way they insult the Lord Jesus Christ. We may not insult the Lord Jesus Christ like the Jews. But if we live a life and our lives in such a way where it does not uphold His righteousness, uphold His holiness, are we not also insulting the Lord Jesus Christ? No, sadly, I remember once going for evangelism, and we met this man where we tried to share the gospel with him. We introduced ourselves as Christians and we shared the gospel with him. And then he told us his son is a Christian. And because his son is a Christian, he will never be a Christian. And we can only wonder, you know, what did his son do? Right? What kind of life did his son live? How did his son behave? That the father would say that, because my son is a Christian, I will never be a Christian. I never want to be a Christian. There must be such a bad, terrible testimony. The behavior, and then to say that he's a Christian. And so you also say that you're a Christian. And if the people around you, when they think of your life and your testimony as a Christian, what will they say? This person is a Christian. Because he's a Christian, I also want to have what he has. Now, why is it that he has that joy? Why is he such a principled person? Why is he so responsible? Why is he so trustworthy? Why is he so diligent? Because he's a Christian. And because he's a Christian, I also want to have what he has. Do you realize that this would be a life that honors the Lord Jesus Christ? But instead, if let's say someone says that, oh, I have a colleague, I have a friend, he's a Christian. And because he's a Christian, no, I do not want to be a Christian. You know, sometimes we say nowadays that many unbelievers and Christians, they behave in a way where they have more like integrity than even professing Christians. Sadly, do you know that that is worse than an insult to the Lord Jesus Christ? You are dishonoring the name of Christ. When we say, let the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ be seen in me, what does it mean? Like, it's not like some kind of glow. Right? Let the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ be seen in me. It means His holiness, His righteousness, His purity, His uprightness. Let the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ be seen in me. If God is your Father, then you must honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must honor the Lord Jesus Christ through your life. Can others see your life and then praise the Lord? You know, we have many of such Old Testament examples where heathen kings, in the days of Daniel, in the days of Joseph, right? Unbelieving kings, when they look at the lives of these men, they praise and worship God. Not all of them believed, in the living and true God. Nebuchadnezzar, we believe, most probably believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved. He believed in the one living and true God. But there are other kings, Darius, and later on Cyrus. They may not have believed, but somehow they would see their life and then they would praise the living and true God. At Belteshazzar, one of the Babylonian king, or the Persian kings, or rather Persian kings, they would see and then they would believe. They would not believe, but they'll praise. And how is it that these Old Testament saints, they can live their life in such a way where others around them will bring honor to God's name, even though they are still unbelievers? But why is it that for us today, that is not the case? Can we live our life in such a way where we would honor Christ? If God is your Father, you would honor Him. If God is your Father, you would love the Lord Jesus Christ. If God is your Father, you would hear and you receive His words. And if God is your Father, you would honor Him. Is God your Father? This must be the proof, the evidence that God is indeed your Father. Many can claim that God is their Father, just as the Pharisees and the Jews did. But the Lord Jesus Christ exposed their hypocrisy. We pray that we will not practice this kind of hypocritical religion, because there's too much of such hypocrisy in Christianity today. But let there be a true love and devotion to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, who art the light of the world, the bread of life, the one who gives us living waters. The Lord Jesus Christ is Thy only begotten Son. He is the Messiah. He is also our Redeemer, our Savior. O Father, we pray that if we call Thee our Father, we would also honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We would love Him, we would keep His words, for the Lord Jesus Christ is Thy only begotten Son, whom Thou hast sent to come into the world, to save us, to redeem us. And we know that we can only call Thee our Father, because the Son of God became the Son of Man, so that we as the sons of men might become the sons of God. We thank Thee for what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. We pray that Thou will help us then in the lives that we now live, to live pleasing, glorifying unto Thee. Help us, we pray. We pray You will also bless the time of discussion, that we will learn to apply Thy word and Thy truth in our lives. We ask and pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.